Blog Talk
we
Radio.
We want our fans to see God in us, no matter what others are doing. Our lives must show His glory each and every day at all times. You see, mankind today, we are told in Romans 3:18, have no fear of God before their eyes. Our world fails to recognize our God in their lives on a daily basis. Unless there's something catastrophic that's going on in our world, such as 9/11, or some hurricane, or some big disaster that's happened, then they want to call for people to pray. They want to call for people to sing Amazing Grace. They want to call and quote out many scriptures. Many will give more credence to luck and the various things than to Almighty God showering them with blessings. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, turn with me there for a moment and look what he says in that passage of scripture. He goes on to say there, but I say unto you, love your enemy. Yes. Saints of God, we've got to love everybody.
That's right.
Oh, we got to love them even if they don't love us. He said, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We want to get down to verse 45 to get what he's saying to us. Because God has blessed all mankind. He went on to say that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh what? His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. See, God blesses even the unjust. God blesses the just. He blesses the unjust. Sometimes we go through some things because you and I are children of God. But that's all right, saints. Because when you go through them with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, our world fails to recognize our God, who created everything, who gives them life, who gives them breath every day. We oftentimes sing another song. As I was studying this message, God was giving me all these songs. We sing this song, It's God. That song says, see the sun giving life. It's God. Feel the breeze in the trees. It's God. It's not someone else, but it's God. And the love that I feel, it's God. It's God. It's God. Oh, it's God. Let our children know that it is God. Goes on to say, in the midst of the storm, it's God. There I feel no alarm. Why? Because it's God. For I know all is well. It's God. Then it goes on to say, it's God. It's God. Oh, it's God. Oh, we've got to give God praise. We've got to give God glory. We've got to show this world it's God. It's not about the president, no matter who's in that office on Pennsylvania Avenue or who sits downtown in our Capitol building. It's about God. It's
Amen.
God that's allowed you to go in. And Sister oftentimes says this. He goes in and allows us to get gain. That is Almighty God. I thank God for Sister Millicent and Sister Blake, our teachers for the children downstairs. I thank God they taught our children when they ask them in the morning before we start our lesson, no matter how late it is, they start out and they ask the children, what are you thankful for? What would you like to say to God? And our children, I thank God they're learning. Oh, saints of God, they are learning about God. Our children now are learning how to say, I thank God that he allowed me to see today. Oh, thank God for that thing. They're saying, I thank God for my food. They realize their food is coming from God. Yeah, mom and dad go out, but God allows mom and dad to get up each and every day and go to a job. He gives them the health and strength and well-being they need to go to a job so that they can provide for their family.
Amen.
And our children downstairs, they sit down and they say they thank God. Not only do they thank God just for their food, but they thank God for their friends. They thank God even for healing one of our group of children. Their little baby sister was burned, and they thank God for her healing.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, train them up, saints of God. We got to give God thanks. Got to give God praise. Got to give God all the glory that is due unto God's name. But as we stated, our times in which we live right now, mankind doesn't want to thank God. Mankind doesn't want to give God the glory that God is due to Almighty God's name. But I thank God that as the saints of God, we can thank him even in the midst of a trial. We can thank him even in the midst of tears. We can still find a way to say, to God be the glory for great things he has done. Oh, thank him, saints of God. Oh, thank him in all the ways that you can. Oh, mankind is going to be without excuse in the judgment. When the judgment day comes, many will walk around and say that I don't know that God is doing this. And I don't know that God woke me up this morning, but I'm here to tell you, yes, it was God that woke you up. I believe, Sister, it wasn't the alarm clock, but it was Almighty God that allowed you to get up, because the alarm clock could have went off and you still didn't have to get up this morning. Oh, praise God. Turn with me to Romans, the first chapter again. And look what Paul says. We'll start there at the 18th verse, and we'll read on down till we get to 21. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. He went on to say there, and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And we're seeing that today. There are many who are holding the truth of God in unrighteousness. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. How has God showed it? There are many witnesses in the Word of God that have told what God has done for them. There are many things that are left on record for you and I to be able to understand what God has done. When you go out into this world, you can see the goodness of Almighty God. All you have to do is look around and see the trees growing out there in the forest and see all the various things that are going. That is Almighty God. We are compassed about the Word of God. We sit such a great cloud of witness. What are those witnesses? Go over there in Hebrews in your leisure and read the 11th chapter and look at the many witnesses that can tell you about the things of God. And he went on to say here in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And I thank God also again for when Sister Blake asked the children this morning, which is correct, evolution or creation? And the children were able to say creation. Why? Because we're living in a day and time where our children are being taught about evolution, the theory of evolution. They're being taught that they just evolved over time. They came from an ape or a monkey or whatever. That's what our world, some little cell, that's how they came about. But my Bible tells me that God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living what? Soul. You didn't evolve from some monkey or some ape? Sister broke it down a little more this morning. She said, if that's the case, then why do we still have apes and monkeys going around? Oh, we got to teach them the truth, saints of God. Our world is teaching our kids a lie. But I'm here to tell them this morning or this afternoon that it's God. God created you.
Amen.
He goes on to say there, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. See, God has revealed himself to mankind in various ways. God has given us a conscience where we know the difference between right and wrong. One might ask, how could Paul be thankful in everything, even in Paul's imprisonment and all of his beatings that Paul suffered? But you have to know one thing about Paul and what Paul used to do and what Jesus Christ said about him back in Acts, the 9th chapter, when he met him on that road to Damascus. He said Paul was going to suffer some great things for Christ's sake. Saints of God, some of us have suffered, may not suffer some great things, but we have suffered some things for the name of Jesus Christ. Remember what the Word of God says. He says you will reap what you sow. There are many out there in our day and time right now. They know right from wrong, but they continue to do things that are against Almighty God. And later on in life, you may come to Almighty God, but there's going to have to be some reaping. Because, see, all the time that you knew it was wrong, you were being disobedient to God. And disobedience is sin. I had someone share with me yesterday, after Sister Blake preached the message, they came up and they said to me, that's probably why I'm going through the things I'm going through, because knowledge is accountability. Meaning, when you know something, you are held accountable if you go contrary to what that is.
Amen.
See, our Bible says to you and I, he said, he that knoweth to doeth and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, when you know something is wrong and you continue to do it and you know it is sin, God is going to hold you accountable.
Amen.
You can pray. You can do all manner of things, but God is still going to hold you accountable. That's what we try to teach our children. Come to Almighty God, as the Word of God says, in your youth, before the evil days come what? Nigh. Before you get all this baggage and all this stuff behind you, all these things you're out there doing, and then you're going to have to try to come to Almighty God. But guess what's going to happen? The enemy of your soul is going to be doing everything he can to keep you from coming to God. There are souls right now who used to live for Almighty God, and they have tried and tried, have left God. Now they're trying, saying they're trying to get back to God. But guess what the enemy keeps doing? The enemy keeps blocking them.
That's right.
The enemy has them so chained and bound now in sin. My Bible tells me that when you walk away from God, you get how many more? Seven. More spirits have come up on you. If you couldn't deal with the one, how are you going to deal with seven more? Oh, it's a fearful thing, the Word of God says, to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, it's even worse to have tasted all of God's goodness, to come in and be showered with all the blessings of Almighty God, to hear the Word of God and sit up underneath it and get all the things that God would have for you to get, and for the Spirit of God to be wooing you to come to Almighty God. and you turn around and walk away from it. Our Bible tells us, I'm going to go here for a moment, because the Spirit is taking me there. He said in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, turn with me there for a moment, and we'll get back to Romans. He said, therefore, he said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, he says, let us go on unto perfection. See, our world will come around and say, no one can be perfect, but God wants you and I to be perfect in our love to God, in our love to the things of Almighty God. He goes on to say here, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. God didn't save you for you to keep falling away from Almighty Amen. God and coming back and saying, oops, I need to do it over again.
Amen.
That's not what salvation is about. Jesus died once, and Jesus Christ wants you and I to die once to sin. He doesn't want us to go in the Word of God and find the scripture that says a righteous man falls 7 times. So I'm going to just fall, or I'm going to go in the Word of God. I see David, who was the apple of God's eye. Look what happened to him. That's not what the Word of God was left on record for you and I. But what the Word of God, we are told in the Word of God, it was left on record so that we would not fall into the same snares and pitfalls of them of old. He wants us to perfect this walk. Then he goes on to say there, he said, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. He said, and this will we do, if God permits. He said in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of it. It's a serious thing, yeah. Saints of God.
Amen.
He went on to say, and have tasted the good word of God. See, when the Word of God is going forth in spirit power, you are tasting the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come. He said, if they shall fall away to renew them, this is why it's so hard for many to come back to God. You tasted of all God's goodness. And what did you say to Almighty God? I don't want what you have. That is why Jesus said, he said, he that setteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back to sin and all the things that were out there in the world that God saved you from.
Amen.
If God has saved you, run on. Run on for the Lord. Learn how to walk better in your life for Almighty God. Don't turn and say that the devil is better than God. Because I'm here to tell you, there's nothing the devil can do for you but to get you deeper and deeper in sin. Think about your own life. Think about what God delivered you from. Think about what's going on in our world today. Look about it, saints. Think about it. Just look at all the things that are happening right now. I believe it was this past week. We heard in the news a 13-year-old killed a 14-year-old. Saints of God, Matthew 13. We're talking about children. How is it that a child has such a criminal mind at such an early age? Because we are allowing our children to sit around and view a lot of things that they have no business. What are you saying, Sister Renee, back in the day? Coming along as a child, I remember, I know many of us in here remember, when your parents talked, where were the children? You weren't sitting around in adult conversations. Most of us would have gotten slapped or whooped, yes, thank you, sister. But you weren't sitting around when adults were talking. Nowadays, children are sitting around all up in the adult conversation. They're making comments too. Oh, that didn't happen back then when we came along. I know we're living in a day right now where we say, oh, we're advanced from that. But I'm going to tell you, some of them old things, what do they call old school? We need to get back to it. Because there were some things back then they didn't tolerate that they tolerate today. They didn't tolerate you talking back to them. Well, they would beat you down right then. They didn't care if you were standing on the street corner. Mom would whip out something and you would get tore up right there. And my parents, they're gone on with me with the Lord right now. They would strip you down. And they would tell you, we don't whip clothes. So they didn't whip anything they bought. So they went down to the birthday suit. Oh, that's what they did back then. But nowadays, we say it's child abuse. Oh, but my Bible tells me that this back part is for the lack of understanding. We're not talking about beat a kid and walk around with beard. That's not what the Word of God says. But a rod of correction in our day and time is needed. You wouldn't see all the things going on right now. And then you also parenting, as someone said early on, need to parent. Be parents. We're not being parents today. We're making excuses for our children, and they're getting away with a lot of things. Well, this past Wednesday night, coming into the house of God, you see, as a child growing up, we were taught about the premises of the church. Don't go over there on that church property. You don't play on church property. The saints were trying to come in on Wednesday night. The kids rode their bicycles right up on the sidewalk, right up to the door. Sister had to say to them and told them, have respect for the house of God. Have respect for the ground. Kid didn't care that she said it. That's the time in which we are living right now, saints of God. Oh, there's no fear of God, not only before the eyes of grown men, but even our children do not even fear God. Oh, but we need to get back to the blessed old Bible. Get back to the Word of God. And when we get back to the Word of God, we'll see a change come over in our world today. Let's go back to Romans 5. Paul wrote in this letter because he trusted God. He said in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He said, and not only so, but we glory, what? In tribulation. Also knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. We need patience in our society today. He said, and patience, experience. And experience, he's saying that we don't go through something, we won't have experience, and neither will we have any kind of hope. He said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Also in chapter 8, verse 28, he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. He said, to them who are the called according to what? His purpose. You see, Paul was convinced that what he was going through in this life was only a light affliction, and was not worthy to be compared with the glory which he should reveal in us. He knew that his faith toward God would produce in his life something eternal, wherein he could rejoice always and give thanks in everything to Almighty God, even those things which were not only unpleasant, but also seemingly unbearable to anyone. His thankfulness truly honored the God of his salvation. How about you and I? Is our thankfulness truly honoring the God of our salvation? You see, God is in control of everything that had to do with Paul's life. And he's in control with everything that has to do with our lives. He is in control with what goes on in our lives each and every day. You see, nothing can happen to us that God does not allow or God does not control. God is wiser than we are. When we see the end result of what God is doing, He's blending everything together in our lives for his ultimate good and glory. Then we can in everything give thanks to the will of Almighty God. God has brought us through a lot of things. There are oftentimes we haven't even testified of the goodness of God and what God has brought us through. There are times where many saints have been driving on the roadway and they found out a few days later or a month or two later that the axle in their car had like a crack in it, knowing they're driving 65, 70 miles per hour over the freeway. But guess who carried them? Yes. Almighty God. Danger seen and unseen. God has carried us through many things. All God wants you and I to do is in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. You see, the early church was characterized by giving thanks to God. Turn for a moment with me to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. This scripture is oftentimes referred to when many want to reference to speaking in tongues. But we know that it's a language. It's not a bunch of jitter-jabber going on. But very often, some beautiful little nuggets are missed in the truth that's in this word right here. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul is talking about the Corinthian church speaking in these unknown languages, which were a perversion of true languages. And look what he says there. He said, "Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" Meaning, if you're talking languages nobody understand, how is anybody going to know that you're giving thanks or even going to be able to say amen to what you're saying? That's why it's a language, and it's not what our world is running rampant with today. How can anybody be agreed in prayer? We've all got to be touched and agreed in prayer. We can't be agreed in prayer if I'm up here, blah, 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 blah. You don't know what I'm saying.
That's right.
How can you say amen to that? That's not of God.
Amen.
Oh, but I thank God that we know the word of God. Oh, thank God for his word. Yes, it's left on record for us. Got to get into it and get to know more about God. As we said at the onset, we live in a thankless society today. And it is truly affecting our culture today. People have more than they've ever had. Yet our society today is filled with so much ingratitude. Webster's Dictionary, I looked this up, redefines ingratitude as forgetfulness of or poor return for kindness received. It can also be defined as not appreciating or valuing what you have or have been given. And that's the time in which we live right now. In today's fast-paced world, most people seem to not have time to even say, "Thank you, Lord." Back in, I was reading in 1789, our nation's capital called for a national day of Thanksgiving. President Lincoln established that the last Thursday of November, which many of us know as Thanksgiving Day, would be a day of Thanksgiving. However, 230 years later, we still see a lack of appreciation from people for the things that God has done for them. Oftentimes, you will hear people say they are thankful for material and physical things, thankful for financial help, thankful for their health. And there is nothing wrong with being thankful for those things. But wealth cannot fill the empty place in one's heart.
Right.
Only Jesus Christ can do that.
Amen.
Few, when they receive something, will ever thank God for it. But I thank God, as I said, for the saints of God here at Wayne Avenue. Oh, we thank God for everything. We don't try to get the glory for anything that we are doing. It's all to the glory and honor of God. I thank God even when we're standing downstairs, even in our food pantry, even when we're standing out there just talking, we thank God even when someone gets up and sings, we thank God. It's all to the glory and honor of God. As we stated early on, we thank God for our children. Oh, thank God how they're learning. Thank God what they're learning in their Sunday school, how they're attentive and listening and coming and wanting to be in the house of God. Thank God for that thing. Because the Bible tells us in everything, give thanks, for it's the what? Will of God. But you thank God on a daily basis. How many of us today just thank God for just allowing us to get up this morning?
Amen.
How many of us thank God that he allowed us to be able to go in and take care of our personal business this morning, to wash our face, comb our hair, brush our teeth? Thank God you had clothes to wear, shoes on your feet. There is much to thank God for. But it's sad. Many professing Christians don't even thank the very God that they say saved their soul. The most thing we ought to be thanking God for, saints of God, is our salvation. Why? Because it was bought with a price. That's how we glorify God. If it had not been for the love of God, where would you and I be today? Oh, yes, our America has forgotten God. America has forgotten all that God has done for us. There are many times when mankind will lift up mankind, then rather lift up Almighty God. Mankind will give mankind the glory for the economy if it's doing well. Mankind will give mankind glory if they get a job or if they're able to purchase something. And they lack to give Almighty God glory. And our psalm says there in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Look around, saints of God. Our world has been turned into hell. Look at our streets. Look at all the fighting that's going on. The shootings, the killings. We were listening to the news last night. Police were chasing a man. Another man came out shooting at the police officers and got shot. These are things that are going on right now. Why? Because America has forgotten God. And when America has forgotten God, the devil is coming in, and he's having full reign in the hearts of mankind. The devil has allowed many to forget the precious things that God has done for them. Don't allow the devil to steal away what God has given you. Don't allow the devil to come in and to make you believe that God is not in control. The devil will say to you, look around. Look at the things happening. But that doesn't mean God is not in control. Because the Bible says that when you have turned your back on Almighty God, and saints of God, we know this scripture very well in Proverbs. God said, in your day of calamity, I will what? God will laugh at us. He said, you'll call on him, and God is not going to hear. Oh, and right now, many are calling on God, and God is not hearing. You see, we put many things before God. We put work before God. We put family before God. We put soccer games, everything before God. This is the main priority of America today, is running after all these things. And then when it comes time for God, we fall asleep on God. We fall asleep on God's word. That is not pleasing to God. God takes first place in our lives. This is why we say to our children, we love them dearly. Get into bed early on Saturday night so you can be up fresh to come to the house of God. God is not in the business of allowing you, wanting you to sit and sleep in Sunday school.
Right.
God doesn't want us sleeping in morning service. We don't sleep when we go to a ball game. We don't sleep yet. You may say, well, sister, there's all kinds of activity going on. Well, the Spirit of God is actively moving us right now.
Amen.
We may not jump up out of our seat, but when we have the Spirit of God within us, God's word is not boring to us, but it is our life. That's why the word of God says, blessed is he that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he shall be filled. You may say, well, sometimes when I look at the word of God, it puts me to sleep. Get up. Go to bed a little earlier. Stop watching some of the things you're watching and give more time to Almighty God. Oh, I believe that our lives will be more rich when we give more time to God. I thank God that God gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. And when you think about all that Jesus has done for us, there's no time for us to sleep on Jesus.
Amen.
That's why the word of God says, awake thou that sleepest. We got to get up, saints of God. We're in the last days. There are those who don't know about Jesus. They need to know about Jesus. They need to know about this walk. They need to know that the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, that thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God gave a gift, and that gift was his son. As brother said in our Sunday school, he came to do what? Seek and to save that which was lost. And our world needs to know about it.
Amen.
In the word of God this morning, God has given us a lot of things that we can digest. And we can put to action in our lives. God has let us know he deserves to receive thanks and praise. He is the one who devised the plan that brought Jesus into this world. God is the one who chose us in Christ. We are told before the foundation of the world. We are told God is the one who puts us into his eternal plan. We're also told that God is the one who loved us when we were unlovable. He is the one who came to us when we were dead in trespasses and sin. You see, God is the one who convicted us of our sin and saved us when we believed on Christ Jesus. We owe everything we have, everything that you and I are, and everything we ever hope to be to Almighty God, the Father of us all. He deserves our thanksgiving for all that God has given to us. God doesn't want us grumbling and complaining, but God wants us to be thankful for all that God has done to us.
Amen.
I want you to read in your leisure, saints of God. I know time is getting away from us, but I thank God for the word of God. I thank God for the message that he's given here. We haven't gotten through all of the message here, but maybe God wants us to come back again, maybe on next Lord's Day, to talk about the rest of what God has and giving thanks to him, because it will enrich our lives to know that God has blessed us. God has given every day. We are daily loaded with the blessings of Almighty God. And I thank God for that. Because if it had not been for God on our side, where would we be today? So as the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me, we will table this and come back, Lord willing, on next Lord's Day and finish up our message of giving thanks to Almighty God. I trust in the message this morning that you have received something to make you think about what God has done for you. When you go out into this old world and you see the things that are going on and you hear people say many things, especially when you hear people say, oh, it's by luck, let them know it's not luck, but it is the blessings of Almighty God.
Praise
the blessings of God that we're able to be here today. The blessings of God that we're able to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for being good to us. It is the blessings of God that we were able to rise up this morning to even be able to give praise and glory to his name. God bless you. It's my prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. We ought always to have praise for God on our lips.
Amen.
And thank him. What could we do for ourselves if not for him?
Amen.
Nothing. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the word this morning. Amen. Shall we stand? Shall we stand? Is there a number? The Evening Light, number 415. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Number 415. Will you come? Will you come to Jesus? Amen. Thank God that he gave, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord is holding that out.
Amen.
He's offering it. Will you come to Jesus?
Amen.
Thus he is calling. Will you come to him without delay? He is full of love, so kind and gracious. He will surely bless your soul today. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy, Paul? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come? Will you come to Jesus full of mercy? Will you give him time and talents too? Will you not prepare to reign in glory? Sinner, to your precious soul be true. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come?
Amen.
Will you come? Will you come? It says, will you come without delay?
Amen.
See, to delay is danger.
Amen.
Because none of us know where death is, young or old or at an age somewhere in the middle.
Amen.
None of us know where death is. Someone was saying, it may have been Sister Jenkins, said that there's someone who's depending upon, well, just before I get ready to die, I'll come to the Lord, and then I can go to heaven. But the question is, well, when is that? Well, when is that? You don't know.
Amen.
Nor do you even know if you're going to be able to speak a word, Lord, have mercy.
My.
Before death comes.
Amen.
Because we don't know how we're going to leave this world or when we're going to leave this world. There are people who have gone into eternity because a blood vessel burst in their brain. They had an aneurysm and a major brain bleed, and they dropped just like that.
Yes.
There are people who have been in automobiles and didn't see a truck or something and were blindsided and never had a chance to even say, Lord, have mercy. We don't know where death is.
Amen. Amen.
But Jesus is here.
Amen.
And he's saying, will you come?
Amen.
He's calling. He says, will you not prepare to reign in glory? center to your precious soul be true. Because eternity is there for all of us. We're all judgment travelers, and eternity is there and waiting. And we, the choice is to either reign in glory or to writhe and wail in torment. And those are the only two options. There is no limbo. There is no purgatory. There is no second world. Jesus is only coming back once. He's not there. There is no rapture where some will be caught up and spirited away, and then you won't see them anymore, and then the Lord is going to give another 1,000 years for people to get right. That's a lie from the pit. And it is deceiving people and making people think that they can wait. The only thing that is to come is the return of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't wait too late.
Amen.
And for some, that the Lord said in his word, my spirit will not always strive with man. As Minister Jenkins preached, there are some who are rejecting and turning away from the Lord. Or saying, at a more convenient time. The rich young ruler that we read of came to Jesus, and he said, good master, called Jesus good master. So he gave Jesus respect. What good thing must I do to inherit the kingdom? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. And he said, all those have I done from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus looked at him and loved him. Loved him enough to tell him, sell all that you have and follow me. And the word tells us he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. There are people who are rich who don't want to give up their riches. There are people who have a life of sin that they don't want to give up. There are people who have a life of lust that they don't want to give up. There are people who just like the excitement of the street and they don't want to give that up. But the Lord holds out life eternal. Don't get caught on the wrong side of the word of God. Don't get caught on the wrong side of judgment. Will you come? Will you come to Jesus? You, everything that you need for now and eternity is in Jesus.
Amen.
Will you come? Amen. Third verse.
Do not tarry. He has paid the price your ransom cost. Faithful in his active service standing. Though the world around in sin is lost, will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come? Will you come to Jesus? Time is flying. Do not wait a moment. Come just now. Many souls in sin each day are dying. Come and at his feet repenting bow. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come?
Will you come? There's an altar here. So, Lord, there's an altar here. There's a prayer room there. Please don't close your book yet. Please don't take your finger out of that place. You can come and bow, and someone will pray with you. You can go to the prayer room, and someone will meet you there, pray with you. That last verse said, time is flying.
Oh my.
We said that at the beginning of service. We said we're already nearly through May, the fifth month of this year. Time is flying. And there are many people whose earthly lives have ended from January 1st to now. There are many people who have gone into eternity. Yeah, two of the saints here. But when you die in the Lord, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. So then there's not a fear of what follows. But if you haven't come to Jesus, the word says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth because there's no remedy after death. There is no salvation in the grave. And time is flying. None of us even know if we're going to be able to come together in this building again. This may be the last time that we're ever all together in this building. We just don't know. God is the author of time and eternity. And time is flying. It says, do not wait a moment. Come just now, because there may not be another moment. Many souls in sin each day are dying. If you're in sin, don't die that way.
Amen.
When Jesus holds out life,
Amen.
The altar is open.
Amen.
The prayer room is there.
Yes. Yes.
The Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, saying, you need to step out.
Yes.
You need to have faith and step out and believe that I'm able to save you and keep you.
Amen.
Many souls in sin each day are dying. Come and at his feet, repenting bow. Come confessing. Come ready to stop the sin business. Just humble yourself and walk with God. Can we sing just that last verse, just that fourth verse, one more time? I just feel to tarry just a little bit longer for souls.
Jesus, time is flying. Do not wait a moment. Come just now. Many souls in sin each day are dying. Come and at his feet repenting bow. Will you come to him? The Lord of all, will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come? Amen.
Is there one who will say, pray for me? I didn't step out today, but I feel the Lord is dealing with me. Is there one who will raise their hand and say, just pray for me? Amen. 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 If you're feeling what's called convicted in your heart, if you're feeling sorry to God about your life, the way it exists, the way you're living your life right now, you are highly favored. If that is what you're feeling, then God loves you and he has not withdrawn his spirit from you. We're told in God's word that godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. The sorrow of the world worketh death, but godly sorrow, to feel sorry for your sins, to say, Lord, I'm not living right, and Lord, I'm sinning against you. Lord, I need help. If that's what you're feeling, just know that that's a blessing from God.
Amen.
And if he had let you go and withdrawn his spirit, you wouldn't be feeling that.
Amen.
Your conscience could not even be touched.
Amen.
At this point. Amen. 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 Lord, do you want prayer? Do you want to bow there? Do you want to go to the prayer room? Prayer room? All right. Someone will meet you there. There another. This is serious. This is life and death. This is life and death. Amen. Will someone come and pray with? Someone come and pray with Vanessa. Amen. Will a brother come?
Yes.
Brother Levesque will meet you there. Amen. 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 Shall we sit and may be seated and being agreed in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for these who have come. Dear Father, we're so thankful, dear God, for your word. We're so thankful for your spirit, dear God. For Lord, we know, dear God, that it's through your word and through your spirit, dear God, that we came to you. And Father, we know, dear God, that through the power of the blood of Jesus, Lord, you're able, dear God, to redeem, Lord, sin. Lord, we pray, dear God, Father, that you would remember each one that has come, dear Father. Lord, we know, dear God, that you are able and mighty to save. Lord, you're able to save to the uttermost all who will come to you in faith, dear God. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, that you remember these souls who have come. Help us, dear God, to tarry, Lord, with them and be agreed in prayer with them, dear Father, knowing, dear God, that you are able, dear Father, to change lives, dear God. Lord, you're able to translate, dear God, a soul out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. And so, Lord, we're being agreed in prayer with these, dear God, these souls. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give them, Lord, if they've come, dear God, to be redeemed, dear God. Lord, you know each heart and each mind, dear God. So, Father, pray, dear God, if that is why they have come, Lord, that you